from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maitre Uvacha, Samekadya Naradascha, Igurhamso Rumir Yuti, Naite Grihan Rama Sita, Nivasan Udvaretisa. The great sage Maitreya said, the four great Kumara sages headed by Shonaka, as well as Narada, Vibhu, Hamsa, Aruni, and Yati, all sorts of Brahma did not live at home, but became Udva, Reta, or Naishtika Brahmacharis, unadulterated celibates. The system of Brahmacharya has been current since the birth of Brahma. A section of the population, especially male, did not marry at all. Instead of allowing their semen to be driven downwards, they used to lift the semen up to the brain. They are called Udvaretasa, those who lift up. Semen is so important that if by the yogic process one can lift the semen up to the brain, he can perform wonderful work. One's memory is enabled to act very quick, and the duration of life is increased. Yogis thus can perform all kinds of austerities with steadiness and be elevated to the highest perfectional stage, even to the spiritual world. Vivid examples of brahmacharyas who accepted this principle life were the four sages, Sanaka, Sanandana, Sanatana, and Sanat Kumar, as well as Nada and others. Another significant phrase here is Naite Grihan Yavasa. They did not live at home. Griha means home as well as wife. In fact, home means wife. Home does not mean a room or a house. One who lives with a wife lives at home. Otherwise, a sannyasi or a brahmachari, even though he may live in a room or in a house, does not live at a home. That they did not live at a home means that they did not accept a wife. So there is no question of discharging semen. Semen is meant to be discharged when one has a home, a wife, and the intention to beget children. Otherwise, there is no injunction to discharging semen. These principles were followed from the beginning of creation, and such brahmacharis never created progeny. This narration is dealt with the descendants of Lord Brahma, the Manu's daughter, Prasuti. Prasuti's daughter was Dakshayani, or Sati, in relation with whom the story of Dakshayagi was narrated. Maitreya is now explaining about the progeny of the sons of Brahma. Out of the many sons of Brahma, the brahmachari sons, headed by Sanaka and Narada, did not marry at all. Therefore, there's no question of narrating the history of their descendants. Om Jnanatimanandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanyam Prahamsam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Vipasindu Bayedacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnadebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan. It's really, you know, an amazing grace to me in terms of I have a class at 1:30 in the morning to New Zealand, and then the rest of the day going. There's so many different groups of people. And my service to help people see Vrindavan, not just externally, but the real Vrindavan, the land of love, land of devotion. So group after group. And I thought about this class and the best way to proceed, because, you know, often I'm very fatigued at night, especially since I get up very early. And so I think the best way to proceed in this class is to discuss the katha, the stories, the subject that I'm already discussing, because it'll be most fresh in my mind and most easy to present. And right now in Vrindavan, I've been intensely studying and presenting every day the story of Dhruva Maharaj. It was interesting because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna, who has come to fulfill the internal reason of his descent, which is to experience the love of his topmost devotee, Radha, that when Radha came in Gaur Lila, Seva Sadaka Rupena, Siddha Rupena Chatrihi, that all the associates of Krishna came in Gaur Lila to assist Krishna in his mission. So Radha also came, but the unique thing about Radha coming is that when all the other associates who came in a different form, they came as sadhakas, practitioners, the perfected souls in Krishna Lila, Siddha Rupena, they came as sadhakas, Seva Sadaka Rupena, they came as the sadhakas, the practitioners, they still kept their mood. But Radha came as Gadara Pandit, but didn't keep her mood, because if she kept her mood in the form of Gadadhar Pandit as Radha, then it would be very, very difficult for Krishna in the form of Chaitanya to adopt the mood of Radha in the presence of Radha's mood. That would force him to keep the mood of Krishna. So Radha came in a different mood. Instead of being the left-wing gopi, Radha, the mood of conjugal love that's a little bit aggressive and contrary, she came as the right-wing gopi, the more submissive mood. But because, just for service, she couldn't, Radha means the capacity of service, and it wouldn't be service for her to maintain the mood of Radha when Krishna wanted to adopt that mood himself. But she did the service of helping Krishna in the form of Chaitanya get the mood of Radha by teaching the Bhagavatam. Every single day, Krishna went with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, went to Tota Gopinath to learn the Bhagavatam from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I find it interesting that the two stories in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Gadadhar was lecturing on every day and teaching to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were Prahlad and Dhruva. So it's not disconnected from developing the highest form of devotion. In fact, these stories like Dhruva and Prahlad give you the foundation for the highest form of bhakti. Madhva Acharya describes that the mood of servitude is the vessel in which the rasa of all other relationships are held. The foundation of Madhurya Ras, conjugal love, is servitude. The foundation of parental love is servitude. The foundation of friendship is servitude. So, those things which invoke and inspire servitude are not disconnected from developing Vraja Bhakti. Rather, they're the foundation of it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated that by in his mission, hearing the story of Dhruva Maharaj. And I've been preparing this, and we've been relishing it, and so many very interesting points are coming out. So I'm definitely happy to be able to share it with you. Now, in this particular section of the Bhagavatam, the subject matter of the Manus are discussed. The Manus are the rulers or the saintly kings. They're the rulers. They're the kings. So this is very important in the Bhagavatam that lineages are discussed. In fact, it's one of the criterias for something being an authorized Purana or history. It must contain a description of the lineage of the kings. And there's an important reason why, because the main essence of Shastra is to free one from false ego, the conception that I am the enjoyer and controller. False ego is the based on the objective that I want to be the enjoyer and controller. I will be happy when the world moves according to my desires, and therefore to achieve that, it's very important for me to get power. Power means money, power means the opposite sex, power means learning, power means reputation, profit, admiration, distinction, which get things that give me influence. Because if I have influence, I have power, then I can move the world around me. And that's false ego, and false ego is based on a very unfortunate objective, which is false. The worst thing is to have faith in an objective that is false, because all your effort will be for naught. So if your objective is to achieve happiness, and you think that happiness is to control the world perfectly so that you can enjoy it, then that's very unfortunate. Because one, we can never be the controller, so we can never be the enjoyer. And therefore, even if you achieve some height of control, you're still in anxiety because it's full of duality, it's temporary. You can't enjoy something that's temporary, going to be taken away. And the degree that it's going to be taken away is the degree you're going to suffer. And the happiness is superficial. Happiness is superficial. Because real happiness is not about things. Real happiness is about the consciousness you have in relationship to things. So, one way or another, you won't be able to control the world according to your desires. And even if you would do it, you wouldn't be happy. Because that's not what happiness is. Happiness is connected with the essence of God's bliss, potency, which is bhakti or devotion. And bhakti or devotion doesn't depend on the circumstance you're in. It depends on the consciousness. In fact, sometimes difficult circumstances are even better for consciousness. If we look at Queen Kunti, Vipada Shantus Pashasvatacha, she was saying, let me have the calamities again and again. Let the world move rapidly against my desires, not for my desires, because when that happens, then I have you. So the main point, the theme of Shastra and all Shastras, is to somehow or other move one away, free one, from the conception of false ego. And one way to do that is to show people what the goal of their material objective is. And what is our goal? Every one of us here that's listening to it, we want to be the king or the queen. And what is the king or the queen? The king or the queen is the position in the material world that has the maximum power. The king has the authority and resources to move everything within his environment the way he wants or she wants to fulfill one's desires. So basically, everyone in the material world, us included, we really want to be the king, we want to be the guru, we want to be the acharya, we want to be the king, we want to be the rock star. This is what our objective is. So we have to see what that looks like. And rock stars are nothing like the king. And therefore, in a Purana, a spiritual history, they will describe the lineages of the king so that we will actually see that it doesn't work. It's not a position of happiness because you're not the full controller, and therefore you have everything you want, but you can't have a son. Or you have everything you want, your son is born, Chitraketu, and the co-wives kill it. Or you have everything you want, and your son is born, Maharajanga, he's very cruel. So if you go through any history of people who've actually achieved control and therefore enjoyment, you'll see that it's not a worthy goal to dedicate your life for. So that's what Shastra does, and therefore it has to discuss this. So here we're now in the lineage of from Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma and this verse, his sons will be discussed. And then one of his sons is Manu. And Manu has two sons, Priyadvata and Uttanapad. And Uttanapad has a son called Dhruva Maharaj. And we'll be following the lineage and the story of Dhruva Maharaj. But here, it talks about Lord Brahma. Of course, this is Maitreya discussing to Vidura. And he discusses the sons who are celibate. And he basically discusses them first because they're not going to have a lineage to talk about. You can just talk about them. And the main thing is that they were Naishtika Brahmacharis. And the semen was not discharged. It made them very powerful, very determined, with very powerful memories. And you can become spiritually influential if you're not engrossed in worldly duties. And these were legitimate brahmacharis, legitimate sannyasis, and they just weren't engaged in material duties, and they dedicated themselves to spreading Krishna consciousness. So, although bhakti is renunciation, not dedication, it doesn't mean that you're just celibate or this, and that makes you a great devotee. But certainly, if you're on the path of devotion, and your karma is such that you don't have to become worldly entangled, then it's very, very powerful. Okay, text 2. Nishadamasya bayasid dambamayam chushatiran ashuta mitanu tattu ritir jagrahe praja. Another son of Lord Brahma was irreligious, whose wife's name was Falsity. From their combination were born two demons named Dumba, or bluffing, and Maya, or cheating. These two demons were taken by a demon named Nariti, who had no children. Therefore, it is understood that a dharma, a religion, was also a son of Dhamma, and he married his sister, Misha. This is the beginning of sex life between brother and sister. This unnatural combination of sex life can be possible in human society only where there is a dharma or religion. It is understood that in the beginning of creation, Brahma created not only saintly sons like Sanaka and Sanada and Narada, but also demoniac offspring like Nariti, Adharma, Dumba, and Falsity. Everything was created by Brahma in the beginning. Regarding Narada, it is understood that because his previous life was very pious and his association was very good, he was born as Narada. Others were also born in their own capacities according to their background. The law of karma continues birth after birth, and when there is a new creation, the same karma comes back with the living entities. They are born in different capacities according to karma, even though their father is originally Brahma, who is the exalted qualitative incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anyway, in the narrative, it's also important to hear about Adharma. For the same reason, it's actually described in a later verse, and it's going to describe this, that Pratisarga. Pratisarga means, Prati means against, and Sarga means creation or advancement. So these are Pratisarga. They're the cause of, later it's going to describe, the cause of devastation. Because these things, falsity, bluffing, cheating, they're the cause of destroying bhakti. Because these things are all firmly coming from the false ego. Otherwise, there's no reason to cheat. There's no reason to bluff. They're coming from the false ego, the desire to control the world. And things that come from the false ego, they only increase the false ego. And the false ego is antithetical to bhakti, because bhakti is the real ego. Therefore, one of the subjects of the Bhagavatam is liberation. Muktir-hidvayata-rupa. I quote this very often. Liberation means hidvayata-rupam. That you give up the yata-rupam, you give up the false form, the false identity, based on the false conception of life. Sarupena vivastita, and you become situated in your sarup, your real spiritual identity. So, adharma are the qualities that will bring you further away from God. The adharma will destroy your bhakti. And therefore, they're briefly discussed to inspire you to avoid these things. Because there'll be consequences. And the consequence is, it'll bolster your false ego and cover you from your real ego. And when you go to Vrindavan, when you're covered from false ego, you really can't see Vrindavan. When you're free from false ego can you see Vrindavan. And therefore, when anyone comes into Vrindavan, they usually worship Lord Shiva. Who's the presiding in the forms of the Digpals, the Shiva lingas that protect the different sides of the Dham, because Lord Shiva is the presiding deity of the false ego. So he's going to go on and describe these qualities. Maitreya told Vidura, Yo Simam Bhavalo Bho Rittischa Mahamati Tabyam Krodas Jihimsa Cha Yadurupi Svasakali. Maitreya told Vidura, O great soul, from Dumba and Maya were born greed and Nakriti, or cunning. From their combination came children named Kroda, anger, and Himsa, envy. And from their combination were born Kali and his sister Durupti, harsh speech. So, O greatest of all good men, by the combination of Kali and harsh speech were born children named Mrityu, death, and Bita, fear. And the combination of Mitya and Bita, Bitti, came children named Yatana, excessive pain, and Nirahel. So this is just entanglement in the material world. Nitya Nityanam, Chaitana Chaitananam, Eko Bhunam Yogi Vidata Kama. There's one supreme eternal, there's many supreme eternals, there's one supreme living force, and there's many eternal living forces, and Eko Bhunam Yogi, and the one is meant to serve the many. And God fulfills people's desires who want to remain aloof or separate from him. Text 5. Sangrahena miyatyata patisardas pravanaga chushutvai tatpuman punyam vidyanotyatmano malam. My dear Vidura, I have summarily explained the causes of devastation. One who hears this description three times attains piety and washes the contamination from his soul. So how do you attain the piety? When you hear about the qualities that destroy the soul, then you become inspired to give them up. If you would all have some type of spiritual objective. Okay. The creation takes place on the basis of goodness, but devastation takes place because of irreligion. This is the way of material creation and devastation. Here it is stated that the cause of devastation is the Dharma or irreligion. The descendants of irreligion and falsity, born one after another, are bluffing, cheating, greed, cunning, anger, envy, quarrel, harsh speech, death, fear, severe pain, and hell. All these descendants are described as a sign of devastation. The person is pious and hears about these causes of devastation. He will feel hatred for all of these, and that will cause his advancement in a life of piety. So we're hearing about those things. To develop a good samskara or of aversion to these things. And that will help us advance. As recommended by Lord Chaitanya, one has to cleanse the dust from the mirror of the mind, and then advancement on the path of liberation begins. Here also the same process is recommended. Malam means contamination. We should learn to despise all the causes of devastation, beginning from irreligion and cheating, and then we will be able to make advancement in a life of piety. The possibility of attaining Krishna consciousness will be easier, and we shall not be subjected to repeated devastation. The present life is repeated birth and death, but if we seek the path to liberation, we may receive from repeated suffering. Okay, I'm going to read one more verse because somehow or other, I don't know, I did take a nap in the afternoon, but maybe not much. Because, you know, I'm being frank, I'm practically falling asleep on my feet. But let me see if I can get one more thing in. And the mind, it's very hard to get subtle thoughts, so. Ataha kirti evam sam punya kirti kuru taha sayambhu vasyapi manur harir amshana jagama. Maitreya continued, O best of the Kuru dynasty, I shall now describe you to you the descendants of Swayambhuva Manu, who was born of a part of a plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is our describing the lineages. Lord Brahma is a powerful expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Brahma is Jiva-tattva, he is empowered by the Lord, and therefore he is considered a plenary expansion of the Supreme Godhead. Sometimes it happens, and there is no suitable living being to be empowered to act as Brahma. The Supreme Lord himself appears as Brahma. Brahma is the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Swayambhuva Manu was the direct son of Brahma. The great sage Maitreya is now going to explain about the descendants of this Manu, all of whom are widely celebrated for their pious activities. Before speaking of these pious descendants, Maitreya already described the descendants of impious activities, representing anger, envy, unpalatable speech, quarrel, fear, and death. Purposely, therefore, he is next relating the history of the life of Dhruva Maharaj, the most pious king within this universe. So Brahma was a partial part of the Lord, and Manu was a partial part of Brahma. So it's good to hear about their activities. Okay, I'm going to have to stop here because I'm just so exhausted. I can't even think straight. We'll try to get this class more together. It's been a little bit sketchy because I've been traveling. Would anybody like to say hello today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail. I have a really easy question though for your tiredness.
Okay. Give me an easy question. If I don't fall asleep, I'll answer it.
Okay. What's the relationship between Manu, who is ruler of mankind, and the earthly kings, who also are a type of ruler?
You know, yeah. The earthly kings are they're the rulers of the earth. Manus are the rulers of the universe. mean,
yeah, but what does that mean?
There may be a king. So he may be a kingdom. They may be an emperor. The emperor may be for this world, and then Manu. He's for the universe. And
but who are
his
subjects?
When Priyadrata didn't want to get married, who was his grandson, he came down to speak to him. So probably the emperors of the the emperors of all the planets are his subjects. The emperors of all the planets in the universe are his subjects.
Okay.
And he lives for a vast amount of time. He lives for... There were 14 Manus in the day of Lord Brahma. Okay, you got it. So it's millions and millions of years that they rule. So kings rule for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
And they're above the kings.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thank
anybody
you.
Else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Hanan and Purit, obeisances.
Yeah, thanks everybody for staying steady. I know these last months have not been to the standard just due to my schedule of writing and everything. I thought I would be wide awake at night. I took a little nap. But when the fatigue is so deep, you can't even hear your own mind speaking on the verse. So... It's good, but hang on. We're gonna somehow work this out. How I have, also I only have one more Sunday in India, so last class in India. So the times will start to be much earlier for me. The classes. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Kishori
and Priya.
Hi, Rose. Thank you. Priya, thank you all for coming. We'll see you all soon. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Chaitanya Priya. That was
beautiful. Thank you. Well, I don't know. I'm speaking. But anyway, what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to crash out and get the rest. It's only quarter after eight here. But, I guess I took some hot milk before the class, and that makes you fatigued. Anyway, thank you all. We'll keep this up. We've kept it up so far for 10 years. So we'll figure out how to keep it going. Bunch of hope.